And we're back with Dr. James Hansen, Jim Hansen, the author of the biography of Neil Armstrong, First Man, and a number of other books. Jim, I just saw a notification. You're doing an event in November. An Apollo 14 event. Tell me about that. It looks quite opera.
Very unique one. Yeah, there's been an opera written about Apollo 14. Which, of course, is the Al Shepard, flight, most famous maybe for, Al hitting a couple golf balls on the lunar surface. There's an opera that's been written. It's been performed just a couple of times, and it's going to be performed out in Palm Springs, California. And Ed Mitchell, who was part of the Apollo 14 crew, is going to come. There's a role for a narrator in this opera, and Mitchell's going to do that. And I've been asked to come and, give some talks and sign some books. I'm actually a friend of the woman who's in charge of the Opera Institute out in Palm Springs. So I've been kind of involved in the planning of this to some extent. A space opera. I haven't actually heard the music, so I can't really evaluate, the caliber. I'm hoping it's really, really good, but it should be Rick Armstrong, Neil's oldest son, supposedly going to come to the opera. And so it should be quite a night.
Because he's a musician himself, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, that should be fascinating.
He's very into music. He's one of my Facebook friends, and most all of his posts have to do with and the groups that he follows are – I'm not sure I can remember their names, but they're kind of alternative rock kind of music from groups that were very, very, that maybe made their music mostly in the 90s or 80s and are still around. And Rick follows them very, very closely. And he plays the electric guitar.
Okay. So when is Neil Armstrong the opera coming out, Jim?
Well, I'm more interested in Neil Armstrong the movie or the Neil Armstrong the miniseries. I can tell you, nothing's definite, and I've been on a roller coaster in terms of trying to get this into some kind of a cinematic form. But currently, there's interest. The writing team that made Band of Brothers, HBO, which I thought was a very, very excellent show, and they won a number of Emmys for their writing. They are interested in the potential of making First Man into a long format TV programming, meaning a 6, 8, 10 parts, series. Yeah. And so I really think that would be the way to go. When I've seen the scripts, two scripts for movies that have been based on my book, and in a 2-hour movie, you can't do much besides Apollo 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, Neil's story is so much richer than that, that it really, I think the idea of a mini series, especially if it's done, with the kind of quality that Band of Brothers was done, then we might have something special. So we'll see.
Well, I hope that comes to pass. To finish off, Jim, you've obviously done other things, and I think the more recently you worked with John Young on his autobiography. Could you tell us about that? It's called
was a very different experience, going from a biography to an autobiography. In an autobiography, everything had to stay in John's voice. John, he's kind of the astronaut's astronaut for me. I assume your audience would be familiar with who he was, but, he flew Gemini, he flew 2 Apollo flights, he was commander of Apollo 16, he was the first commander of the space shuttle, he was chief of the astronaut corps in Houston for a number of years. Quite a character, but he wanted to write his own book. He didn't want any historians associated with it, but that situation changed after he finished it, and people started to look at it, and they thought, and they decided, the family decided it needed some assistance. So I came in at that point and sort of did a, review of the manuscript, and I told the family what I thought needed to be done. And once I told them, they said, well, since you know what needs to be done, would you please consider doing it?
Okay.
And so that's how I got involved in the project. And it's very different, you know, of course, because with an autobiography, it's someone's own personal first-person story. And, you know, I have to, whatever writing I do, I have to stay out of the way of the author's voice. I have to promote the author's voice. I mean, if I add material, and I added quite a bit of material, then, you know, I have to write it as John Young.
Sure.
And of course, you know, whenever I did that, I would send it, you know, everything got sent back to the Youngs, and Susie, his wife, and John would review, you know, the changes or the additions, and they could, you know, accept it or reject it or change it or whatever. And the problem with, I guess it was a problem. It was just too bad that John's health kind of took a turn for the worse right in the middle of all that.
Oh, I see.
So when I needed him to be responding to my comments, he really wasn't in any position to do it. So it really put more of a burden on me just to continue to, you know, to write. There were things, you know, that I knew needed to be in there that John didn't put there for one reason or another.
Mm.
You know, so I fleshed out the book quite a bit. But again, you know, wanting to keep it, you know, keep it real, keep it in John, keep it, you know, that when I didn't want a reader to say, okay, well, I can hear John here, but on this next page, I don't hear John. He sounds, right. Sounds like a different person. No, and in fact, the reviews I've read are quite nice about that. They feel like they can hear John all the way through it. Mm. And that's, you know, that's all the, you know, appreciation I need, because I know I wrote a lot of it that, you know, that was in his voice.
Sure.
But it's an incredible story. I mean, in terms of the life of an astronaut, I mean, John, you know, he had a 40-year career with NASA.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to Neil's, you know, one Gemini flight and one Apollo flight, John, you know, did so much more relative to the American space program. So in that sense, he's a lot more significant to you know, but he's obviously not the icon.
Yes.
He's an icon of sorts, but he's not the global icon. I mean, you could ask somebody in India or Australia who John Young is, and, you know, they probably won't know.
Mm.
And then same in the U.S. I mean, it's not an astronaut name that, you know, that is instantly recognizable, certainly not like Armstrong, but I'm glad I did it. It's not the first time I've done this. I've now done three books where I've actually helped someone write their own life story. One of them was a book called Truth, Lies, and O-Rings, which was the story of Alan McDonald, who is the head of the solid rocket booster program for Morton Thiokol that made the SRBs, you know, for the shuttle.
Oh, okay.
And it's his story of the shuttle and especially of the Challenger accident.
Ah.
And so he wanted to tell a story, but he needed assistance from, you know, a historian and a writer. So I did that with him, and that worked out extremely well too. So I don't know. I'll probably do a few more of those. I get real interested in the life story of someone. But instead of a biography, it just seems better for them to tell their own
sure.
story. So I step in and try to help with that.
Of course, looping back from the O-ring, of course, Neil was on the investigation board on the Challenger disaster.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He was vice chair. In fact, you know, he didn't. I don't think he even historically has gotten the credit that he deserved for. You know, he was kind of Mr. Inside when it came to running the Rogers investigation, and William Rogers, who chaired it, who was a former Secretary of State, he was Mr. Outside. You know, he handled all of the bigger, you know, the political aspects of it and dealing with the White House and all that. But Neil, you know, took charge of the engineering analysis and so forth. So Neil was really important to the Challenger investigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, unfortunately, time's gotten away from us, so we're going to have to wrap it up now. I could keep talking all day, but it's getting late
again.
You and I've got to get on things.
Well, maybe when I come to Australia, you know, one of my top two or three things that I want to do in the rest of my life, somewhere in the top two or three is go to Australia. And so I would love to come, and I don't want to spend just, you know, a couple weeks. I want to stay for a while.
Okay.
So if I ever do that, you'll be one of the first to know.
Brilliant. We look forward to that. Do let us know.
All right.
Well, thank you, Jim. Look forward to the new books and all of the things that you're doing, and hopefully we'll catch up with you when you're in Australia. Thanks for joining us on the Space Show.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.